I'm sweating. I must be under pressure. While we're waiting, what I'd like to do, I'd just like you to take the decision, please, to switch your creative minds on. It's very easy for me to bore you senseless for an hour. I'm well capable of doing that. Don't worry. But what I'd like you to do, really, is just to switch your minds on. I'm going to make you do some stuff. Okay? I'm giving you warning of that. Okay? But just to start with, I'd just like to take some photos. I often do this wherever I'm going. I get folks to take photos. Please not of me. Okay? I've got enough of those. But try and be creative. And the reason why I get you to do this, there are 114 minutes left on this. So take as many as you like. And the reason why I get people to do this, I know that if I get enough people taking photos, at the end of it, I'll have some gems in there. I'll show you one of the gems a bit later on that I found from doing it this way. And it's the same when you're teaching languages, isn't it? You need to create habitual writers and readers, because you know the more they write, the more they read, the better they will be. So this is just a kind of way of focusing my mind on that. If you don't know how to use this camera, join the club, neither do I, just click and have a play. See what you can do. Take some photos. I would wager that no one would get out of their seat to take a photo. When I do this with kids, they will move. They will look for the backstory. Okay? I would wager you probably won't. You're probably much too passive for that. Okay? But feel free to. It's there. So I'll leave it there, pass it on when you've finished with it, and I'll just try and fire up my presentation.
This story from Demonstrating Blog Features is entitled Welcome to Blogging to Creativity and Beyond, and was published on June 5th, 2007. I had better welcome you because Peter Ford is often so nervous that he begins to ramble and digress right from the start, forgetting to introduce himself properly. He is a teacher and an independent ICT consultant, specializing in helping schools make the most of the communicative and collaborative opportunities of the internet. He was the world's first primary school teacher to use blogs with his pupils way back in the last century. He must be immensely proud of this claim to fame. There's still time to make an exit. In my humble robotic view, the problem with so-called blogging consultants is that they spend hours talking about a process that is really no more than writing in a box and pressing a button. Do not tell him I said that though, or I'll never work again. I wonder how long 40 is going to harp on for today? I notice that he is firing up a PowerPoint presentation. Death by PowerPoint yet again. Bring on lunch. Listen to this post.
That gets that out of the way, doesn't it? I've introduced myself. I'm a teacher, and that's what I'm proud of, really. I recognise the role that teacher educators or trainers play. In as a crucial facilitating role. But I believe so strongly in the nobility of the teaching profession. And wherever I go, that's what I say. So it's a delight to speak to teachers and to teacher trainers or educators, however we want to call them. And if you have a look at this picture, it looks far better on my laptop than you can ever imagine. It's actually a cappuccino. Believe it or not, and it's a gorgeous cappuccino, and it's one that I have every morning. I go to the same coffee shop and I order this same cappuccino, and it's beautiful. It looks far, far better in the flesh, in real life, I must say. And if you look at it, I order the same thing every day. I'm a creature of habit, like most teachers, I guess. And the reality of it is, why I order that cappuccino in the mornings is because I need the caffeine. I need to get through the day. And I know that if I get that caffeine boost, it gets me going. I'm not proud that I need a caffeine fix in the morning, but it's true. And I need that. But why, when I go to the coffee shop, do I order a cappuccino? Because really, all I need is that tiny little bit of espresso at the bottom of that. I leave most of that froth behind. And I would be much better, actually, getting just an espresso and a glass of water. I would save time. I would throw it down my throat, have the water, got my caffeine fix. The day would have started well. But the reality of it is, the froth is fun. I like what it looks like. I like buying that. I like leaving it behind. And it's true. When my kids come with me to the coffee shop, they have a very different view of the cappuccino to me. They're very, very interested in that froth. They don't care about that sickly tasting coffee at the bottom. But the things they can do with this cappuccino milk froth is absolutely amazing. The creativity that goes on as they time the spoon sinking through it, as they look at the colours and taste the chocolate. And ICT, and in any area of education, is just like this cappuccino. Really, what we're interested in, the coffee at the bottom. We want standards, we want people performing and producing great miracles in terms of language teaching. But there's got to be some froth there as well. For us, as educators, and also, in particular, for the students. And I guess that's where the skill of teaching comes in. And as we look at blogging, we could be looking at any other type of technology, actually. And I've come to the conclusion, I've created over 10,000 blogs since 2000 in various guises. I've come to the conclusion that blogs, or any other technology, they are not transformative. They will transform nothing. And I hope to show you that later on. What is transformative is a teacher using those tools. And there's an absolute key distinction between those two things. If you want something that will transform your students, then transform your teaching into a way that will engage your students. Technology might be involved in that. It might not. And so keep an open mind, keep a creative mind. And if anyone wants to buy me a cappuccino, that would be great. I'm a teacher. That's a picture of me a few years ago. I'm beginning to look more and more like that, which is a bit of a worry. But I think teaching is incredibly important and noble. And why am I bothered with ICT? To be honest with you, I have to be honest with you, really. I would much rather teach some poetry. I'd much rather teach some creative writing. That's where I come from. That's what I enjoy doing. But I also realise that the youth of today are changing. And if I want to be able to teach and engage, then I must engage and motivate. We've got people that are growing up. They do not know what it was like before the internet. Some of you look like you're in that age range already, that you are young enough to know that you don't know what it was like before the internet. I can remember getting telegrams. I can remember when fax machines really were the top-notch piece of technology that you had to have. Incidentally, looking back on that sort of technology, schools didn't make use of that, really, as far as I could tell. Apart from to order things, but not in terms of their educational application. But anyway, so we've got a generation, and I'm sure you've all got stories of it, where the kids are just absolutely expecting technology. They're not frightened of it. They don't care if there's no instruction booklet. They don't need to be a step ahead of anyone. They will just do it. If it goes wrong enough times, they will leave it behind. If it's intuitive enough, they will use it and be creative. I'm not telling you anything new, at least I hope I'm not. And if it is something new, get used to the reality, because this is the way it is. And I can remember in the year 2000, talking about blogging, and I may as well have been on another planet. People didn't know what it was. But what I did know, and what I did say at the time was, you can choose to put your head in the sand about technology, but the internet is not going to go away now. Could you imagine the life without the internet. Now, someone's not going to say, actually, no, we've changed our mind, we're stopping that, we're going back to just textbooks. It won't happen. So this is the future. This is the generation we're living with. And this was my head. He was my principal. When I first started using blogs, obviously, I sort of fell into it because I've always been convinced, as when teaching literacy or poetry or creative writing, kids need an audience. They need a reality and they need an authenticity or a purpose to everything they do. And so often, they have to suspend disbelief. We knock a couple of things up that they've written on the wall and we say, well, that's your audience. They don't go for that. And I fell into blogging. I'm not interested in the technology. I don't want to be technical. I just want it to work. And I found that I was creating websites. Well, in fact, I was not creating them. I couldn't create them. That was the problem. I realised if I get my kids' work onto the web, their parents can read it, they've got an audience. But it was so far beyond me that I had to get someone else to do it for me. And I vowed never to go to that FTP hell, that file transfer protocol hell again. I wasn't going to go there. And then somebody said to me, try a blog. And I could do it. It was writing in a box and pressing a button. And that was very important to me. But of course, I said to my principal, I said, listen, we're going to start publishing some kids' work. And a lot of the management team at the time said, do you know what, 10-year-old kids, they're not going to be able to run their own fully functional websites. It's not going to happen. But the head, he actually had a bit more vision. In terms of using ICT, he's useless. Absolutely a Luddite. But he has vision. And he said, actually, do you know what, if you can get it working with these things, it will give them an audience. And he had a vision for teaching and learning that said, actually, kids need an audience, so this will be good. And he gave me the carte blanche. And the more I look at this guy, with what he said, I think that's so prophetic, really, back in 2001, talking like that. And I think it's a case of vision, and it's very much to do with what your idea is of teaching and learning. And all I'm going to do today, really, is give you a flavour of what my view of teaching and learning is, and hopefully whet your creativity for the possibilities of using blogs. And if it doesn't whet your creativity, find something else. Don't do it. You know, how could you imagine wanting to implement something where you have no vision for it affecting teaching and learning on the ground? You know, why would you want to introduce this to student teachers if you think, I can't see it? It does nothing for me. So you have absolute freedom at the end of this to say, I don't see it. That's fine. It doesn't make you any worse a teacher trainer or a teacher than me. It's just a difference. But it's good to have clarity on it. It's an interesting one, this slide. What are blogs? I used to spend 3/4 of an hour back in 2000 doing this. They're simply websites. Blogging consultants will charge you £500 to £600 British a day to tell you that they're many other things, and they're very, very exciting. But the bottom line is, they're websites that are very simple. And the thing is, they have subversion incorporated. I just love that phrase because students are always looking for the subversive angle on things. And blogs really allow flexibility. So what you would make of a blog as a teacher is so very different to what I would do. Probably. But the system is neutral and flexible enough for you to do what you want with it and for me to do what I want with it. Which is a great benefit of the system. It's not the system or the tail wagging the dog. We decide what we want to do and use the technology to help us. And whatever your ideas are, you could use a blog to help them. And of course, the beautiful thing for me really was that you don't need a guru for this. If you can send an email, if you can't send an email, we'll run a remedial session for you. But if you can send an email and maybe attach something, you will find blogging so easy. Okay? So that's what I really, really like about blogs. But let's have a look at another definition. This is one of those pictures that I was telling you about. I got people to take pictures with cameras. It looks much better on my laptop, by the way. And someone just took that nice creative picture. I'm hoping for something similar or better that I can take to other presentations. Blogging is just digital paper. Okay? I've given you a sheet of paper in front of you. You're creative people. It should be a coloured bit of paper. Mine happens to be green. Have a look at it. Oh, sorry, that's Mario's. Mine happens to be blue. I'm going to give you a sheet of paper, and I'm going to ask you to be creative, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Okay, you're nice. I'll give you 33 seconds. Okay? I want you to do something creative with this right now. Don't all look so excited. I'm not working in a morgue here, am I? Okay.
We haven't got it.
You haven't got any paper?
No.
Good job napkins. Ofsted aren't watching.
We can send it digital.
Do it. Do it, my friend. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Do something on that bit of paper. Be creative. And we ask students to do this kind of stuff every day of the week. Yet when I ask teachers, I get that same response. Like, what are you asking me to do and why? Be creative. 30 seconds. I've given you way more than 30 seconds. I must be feeling good today.
What do you connect?
Okay. That was a bit more than 30 seconds. Normally, kids whip up amazing things in this time. I hope you... Let's ask a few... First of all, let me just ask a general question. Who is willing to share what they've made? Just put your hand up. I'm not necessarily going to ask you. In fact, I'm more likely to ask the people that haven't put their hand up. Who is willing to share? Okay, have a look around. Put your hands down. Now... That then means there's a third of people who aren't willing to share. Now that, again, is what we're faced with as teachers, isn't it? We're faced with a class who are learning languages, they're under pressure, they've got to create stuff, and then they've got to give it to an audience. We talk about audience, but it's a scary thing sometimes, isn't it? And that's why blogs actually can be very good. Because instead of you having to present something that you don't want to publicly like this and I'm in your face, you could present it on the blog, you could take a photo of it, you could put it up there. It's a lot less threatening, actually. Who drew something? Who drew a picture or a sketch? Very good. Who wrote something? Thank you. Who made something, maybe a three-dimensional thing? Who combined any of those things? Who wrote on something they'd made? Okay, thanks. Who started writing before I asked them to? Did anyone, as that bit of paper came round half an hour ago, came round, started writing? Okay. Has anyone taken any photos yet? Do take some, won't you? I'll pass it on. Press the button. Who wrote a nice poem for me? En français. No? The bottom line with this is, I bet you, you all created different things. Okay, and it's the same with blogs. Really, it's just digital paper. You do what you do with it. because you love what you do. You teach what you teach with it. That's all. And it's just unlimited digital paper. There's one definition for you that I quite like. And incidentally, the picture brought the definition for me. I looked at the picture and that, anyway, that's just the way I work. Here's another definition that I like. Do you want to just fix that for me? But the battery's just gone.
Sneaking. Way too long.
Are you going to fix it for me or what? Are you fixing it? Okay. Anyway, it's a tool in the hands of educators. The task for the French teachers when it comes back up is to see where those accents should really go in my translation of it. Okay, you can help me with that. It's a tool in the hands of educators. But there's panic setting in here. Well, you need to find some very quickly, my friend. But you see, this is the reality. You know, I do everything live when I do conferences. It's the dumbest thing in the world to do, but it is the reality of using technology.
Just move the mouse.
Yeah, well,
he's on standby, so just move the mouse or something.
No, we've done that.
No, you were too early with it. Let me find it.
I could sing a song.
Yes.
Or just switch mine over if you like.
Could I share a experience?
God bless you. Yes, you can.
Well, I was having a seminar. Is it working?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was having a seminar with the newly qualified teachers. And I was supposed to do my PowerPoint presentation, and I did it beautifully, and everything went so smooth. But when I tried it at home, of course, that's what teachers do normally. And when I put on my laptop, my son and his beautiful wife's picture appeared on the screen. So I thought, my God gracious, was that? And it took me 5 minutes to get it on the screen. So it was. And it was embarrassing, and it was funny. It was the proof that technology can sometimes go wrong. Thank you.
You can guarantee that technology will go wrong every single time you use it. I think when you're teaching, you learn to have a load of skills where you just make do. You chit chat. You learn to use those things. But when it comes to technology, so often what we do is. The technology's gone wrong, so actually it's very bad and I'm not going to use it anymore. Yeah. That's often the thing that I find when trying to convince teachers. Are we okay now?
Yeah.
I'll do the same thing for you later, don't you worry. Do you know what? It's just a tool in the hands of educators, blogs are. It's not transformative, teachers are transformative. Students and teachers together can produce transformative stuff. A blog won't. A blog definitely will not produce transformative stuff. And this is what I believe with. This is a quote from me. Believe it. It's one of my favourite quotes. I think that as educators, we have a duty to try out innovative things. Not every day, because we've got lots of work to do. Okay, it's a very, very stressful life being an educator, if you like. We have many, many demands on our time. But to keep ourselves fresh, I think we need to enter into avenues of innovation. Try out new things. It's good for the soul. And I think as we do that, we model something very useful to students, because students have to be able to thrive on change. Not just cope with change. The world is changing. The world requires an adaptability in students. And as we try stuff out that fails sometimes, as we show, give an insight into the process with students, then not only do we model something to them, but we also give a window into other educators, and that's how we see transformational change from the grassroots up. I really believe that governments and teacher training or teacher education places seats of learning, have great roles to play in facilitating teaching and learning at the chalk face. But I really believe that if we want to see transformational change, we need to see it from the grassroots up. We need to see teachers taking risks. And if you're teacher educators, you must take risks. Because if you don't, your teachers sure as heck aren't. And then if you're not modelling it to them, they won't model it to their students. And then we'll be here in 10 years' time saying, well, how did we miss the internet? Like we do with TV. We have that whole thing. Well, I've been in staff rooms and they say, why is it that I've got little Jimmy or little Jemima in front of me and they've got an attention span, probably with some kind of label attached to it, for about 17.2 seconds. Yet they will go home, they will watch television for 3 or 4 hours at a time without blinking. Why is that? Well, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I don't know what your views are on it. But I do know that we really missed the boat in education in terms of the television. And you see filmmaking making such a comeback now in language education and in education in general that you just think, we don't want to be in that same situation 10 years down the line saying, boy, everyone was motivated by the internet. But we don't do that in schools. We don't make use of it. Let's do something now. I'm a bit bored. Okay. I see. You see, this is. He doesn't know how this works. He's just trying it out on the fly with me as a little scapegoat. Thanks very much for that. Very good indeed. What we're going to do now is just, I'm going to run you through how I would use a blog. You may hate it, you may hate my teaching style, good, that's fine. But what you need to do is just say, is there any way that you could possibly use a blog this way? I was at an interview a couple of weeks ago for a job, and my principles are, I think kids need an audience, I think they need real tasks, I think they need authenticity. That's where I come from, that's what drives me. So when you go for a job these days in the UK, they want to see you teach. So they give you a class of, in my case, year five students, which were 9 and 10 year olds, and you haven't seen them before, they come in and you teach them. So what my principles have always been, I must offer them audience. And so it happens to be at Silverstone, at the Grand Prix circuit, this job. So I thought, well, obviously, let's offer them real purpose. So I thought, well, let's start a project. I've got an idea. I've got something to do. Just an idea. We'll start the Silverstone Grand Prix Poetry Project. You create a blog. It takes 5 minutes. You have an idea. You don't know whether it's going to work. And you think, well, let's have a go at creating this blog. And when I got to them, I said to the students, listen, we've got half an hour, 3/4 an hour, to create the very first project, very first poetry on this brand new blog that's going to be read by the people at Silverstone, that's going to be read by people around the world. Why am I showing you this now? Because I'm a good teacher and I seize every opportunity to offer my students an audience. You are now serving my needs as an educator. Right? I'm showing you their poetry because I'm proud of it and I think it deserves a wider audience. And then I go back to them and I say, check out, I was at a conference with people from 1,000,007 nations and they looked at your poetry. They thought it was so good, they're going to write their own. What does that do for a student? It gives them a real concept of audience. It gives them a real concept that it's not just putting a bit of their work on the wall. And it gives them real purpose. And I'm just going to, you can have a look at the poem we create, excuse me, that we created together based on Formula One. And I'm just going to run through the process with you that we did. We'll hopefully, because look how many people, how many intelligent people have we got here? I had a class of 9 and 10 year olds, they created this poem. What should our poem be like? Can you imagine if we put our creative minds together and we want to produce a poem about racing? I can see the look of fear in your eyes as I say that. The kids I worked with weren't scared. They're used to it. They don't care. They take things like this in their stride. Okay, I'm going to run you through the process. I might even get you to perform it. And what I want you to ask is, why am I doing this? What I'd like you to do is to think about, where's the blog in all this and where's the teaching? Because that's important. Mario talks about software fading into the background. If the software doesn't fade into the background, it's more important than the teaching. If it does fade into the background, then it could be useful. This is one of my favourite poems, by a poet called John Hegley. And John Hegley, I'm beginning to look more and more like John Hegley as I get older, which is slightly worrying. But he's one of my favourite performance poets. You may or may not have heard him. He's kind of dry and comical. But what I'm going to do is, he writes these cool words that hopefully you can see on there. But sometimes we write things and we say them in a different way and it has an effect. That's what performance poetry is all about. And that's what I was trying to get across to this class. So let's just listen to my old friend Ricky the Robot read this.
Ifan, Silverstone Grand Prix Poetry is entitled A Poem by John Hegley and was published on May 23rd, 2007. I have a notion of a nation. Where a greener grass is, where everyone is trying on everyone else's glasses, where nobody cares about the color of your skin, or the color of the case that your glasses came in. Listen to this podcast.
I have a notion of a nation where greener grass is, where everyone's trying on everyone else's glasses. And nobody cares about the colour of your skin or the colour of the case that your glasses came in. What's the difference between the two performances? Please find a positive difference. Incidentally, I will be very explicit with you. I want a positive difference, okay? I want to be encouraged. What's the difference between the two performances? Emotions, expression.
Personal.
It's
life. The second one is life. The first one is recorded.
Yeah, life and recorded. Has a difference. Anyone else want to make any positive comments?
The second one you felt like was distinctive. The first one wasn't really engaging in the same way at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Right answer. Oh, sorry. She said it was the best thing in the whole wide world she had ever heard. Okay, imagine that. We're going to get the ECML blogs open. I'm going to ask you to multitask. Well, yeah, really multitask. I'm going to show you your own blogs on the ECML platform. We're going to write a quick poem. You can see the poem that my 9 and 10-year-olds wrote. If we just scroll to the top. So have that in mind. They were looking at the speed of Formula One racing cars, because they were at Silverstone, obviously. They'd just been around the track in a minibus, funnily enough. But this was what they came up with. Tearing through the track, a blur of revving rainbow colours and skidding race lines. We had a discussion about powerful verbs and strong nouns. Imagine you must have these conversations all the time. You get your boring picture up and you're saying to your class, let's make this exciting. What are the adjectives we can use to bring this to life in your languages? And you're looking for expression and quality. And then when they've written something, then you get them to perform it. You get them to say it. You want them to express it. And what I did was, we wrote this one together so that everyone could have a go at performing. The pressure was off in terms of the writing, really. We created one together, and then the people got to perform it, and we recorded it for posterity's sake, and also to evaluate it, which is very, very nice. Let's go down to then our blogs, the ECML blogs. This is the workshop 2007. What you have to do here is you've got to be thinking creatively, because we're going to write a poem in a second together. You've also got to be thinking, this is how I'm going to log into my blog for some of the following tasks. So you've got that to think about as well. I'm going to model it to you, so you've got to watch what I'm doing. And hopefully, we'll all be hunky-dory at the end. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to choose someone's blog. If we have a look down the left-hand side, you can see I've created blogs for everyone here to have a play with, to have a go at posting with. Is there anyone that wouldn't mind me having a go on their blog so I can model this? You all mind? Okay, I'm going to choose. Oh, thank you very much. And you are Adam, correct?
Yep.
Adam, you're a good man. Thank you. I'm going to click on Adam's blog and it's going to appear. Unfortunately, there's nothing there now, but we're going to put a poem there, aren't we? And what I'm going to do is, what we've done is we've left the password blank. So the first thing Adam has to do when he logs into his blog is obviously put a password in there. Otherwise, anyone could log in. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to click login. And it tells me that I'm logged in, infiltrating Adam's blog. And then you'll just see here, if I want to put the password in, I just go to blog setup on the left-hand side, and I can just put a password in there and update the changes. I won't do it, I'll leave you to do that. Sorry. And I can change the template, says Mario, to
something like
this one. And I'm just going to change the template so it's slightly more visible. There we go, and it looks totally different now. But what I'm going to do is, listen, if this is too tricky, then for goodness sake, if I'm telling lies here, that the blogging thing is posting, writing in a box, and pressing a button, if it is not that, don't ever touch a blog. If it's more than that, then you won't have time to do it. Okay, it has to be simple. So here I am, I've now got a box to write in. Here's the tricky bit. We've got to write a poem about Formula One racing. Oh dear. It's tricky, isn't it? Well, what I'm going to do is, just to make it slightly easier, I'll give you a feel for what it's like going round Silverstone at great speed with one of my motor racing heroes, Nigel Mansell. What I want you to listen for, this could be in French, couldn't it? It could be Alain Prost going round Magny-Cours, and he could be speaking French. I want you to listen out for the powerful imagery that he uses. Most of it is incredibly boring. He has incredibly boring expression. He's going 190 miles around this track, 190 miles an hour, and he doesn't even sound excited. But listen to some of the words he uses. It may jog you into a bit of creativity. I wonder.
Warming the tyres up there, going around the left-hand bend towards Luffield Corner, and then round here now to Woodcut, and then accelerating as hard as one can, a little bit of wheel spin opposite the lock. Second, third, fourth, fifth. Sixth gear, cross start, finish line, trying to leave your braking as late as possible for cops now. Braking on the 100 metre board, round the corner, flat in fifth, accelerating through, leaving every bit of the circuit. Sixth, into this complex of corners at Beckett's now, fifth, bit of oversteer, down to fourth, accelerating through as fast as you can. Now you're losing the picture because of the lateral G load here, you're snapping 9G, down onto hangar straight, into sixth gear. Approaching 190 miles an hour now, and into the new Stowe corner. Down to fifth, down to fourth, trying to hold it tight, accelerating all the way, sliding out, fighting the car a little bit, into fifth, braking hard here now, fourth, third, second, car a little bit in the way, second, third, Ram Club, the new club, the G-Force round here now, look at the helmet. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, coming up round Abbey Curve, very fast now in sixth, up to the Foster's Bridge, a little bit of a lift and flat in sixth gear into the new complex, braking very hard down to third gear, long opposite lock, keeping on the power, fighting the car, coming again into left field corner, a lot of slide, long opposite lock. Third gear, down to second gear now, through woodcut again, accelerating, across the grass just a little bit, third, fourth, fifth, in sixth gear, start and finish line.
It's really great. Over the 3 years of the project, blogging as a genre has really changed in that now it's a platform for all sorts of other media to be involved. And I love the fact that I can just whack in a video of something that will help my teaching. I find that really, really useful. Whether it's helped your creativity or not, we're just about to find out, I guess. What I would like from you, I'm going to add the post and it's... there. I would like a title. And I would like a title that encapsulates the speed and emotion of that. That we are 32, 36.
Adrenaline rush.
And you can scribe this for me, Mario. Do you want to just do that for me? Type in there.
Call it speed 3.
Speed 3, adrenaline rush. That's a good start. Speed 3, adrenaline rush. There's the title. Why would Speed 3, why would that appeal to students?
Because they know Speed 1 and 2.
Absolutely. It's a gaming thing. That would appeal to some students. I haven't played Speed 1 or 2, but I'm willing to go there if I can tease out some creativity from my students. Okay, Speed 3, adrenaline rush. Okay, let's have the first line. Give me a line. It can be a line in French. I would love a multilingual poem. Wouldn't that just be amazing? A line in French, en français? I keep praying that one day I'll just be able to whoosh, and it'll all come up. But no, it doesn't seem to work. My French doesn't have... Give me a line in French that describes the speed. Vite. Is that a strong, powerful word that should go in our poem? Rapidement. Lentement. Is that the word we should be using? What kind of words should we use? Come on, French experts, please. Give
accélérer.
Me a phrase.
Accélérer.
Accélérer. Yeah. And
Oh, accélération.
Accélération. What kind of accélération? Quelle sorte d'accélération? See, I'm willing to make myself look stupid to get the creativity. Puissance. Is that powerful?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Vitesse.
Reminds me of...
Okay, how are we doing? Vite, rapidement. Acceleration. I'm sure there's an accent there somewhere. Which words, I'm going to give you a choice, which words are we going to take out of there? And are you happy with that? Are you going to translate it for me?
Wouldn't vitesse be the synonymous of acceleration?
I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe it should be.
Vite, rapidement, accélération, puissance, vitesse. It doesn't flow for me there. French experts. See, I'm willing to not be the expert here.
Forcé à toute allure. Forcé.
Forcé
à toute allure.
Forcé, mm-hmm. Tout à l'heure.
À toute allure. C'est-à-dire partir en vitesse.
Can you scribe for me?
Forcé, tout simplement. Forcé.
C'est très simple. You see, I want to talk you through the emotion of using blogs here in this situation. I am at a loss. I am out of control. I'm not empowered here as the educator. And that's a nasty place to be in. But that's how we're so often going to be in that situation with our students who may be better than us at technology. And I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to learn from these people. Foncez à toute allure. Can you translate that for me, please? Going at high speed. Highest speed. Which? The pedal. Foot to the floor. Going at the speed of light. Are we really going at the speed of light? No. That's a metaphor. That's a whole different kind of language use, isn't it? I could teach a lesson on that. But I'm not going to, you'll be glad to see. Are we happy with this poem? No. Well, okay, that's important. Because it's not normally, it doesn't matter whether you're happy with it or not. Because we'll do it, we've done a bit of shared writing, you go away, it's lost. Why is it now important that we are happy with it? It's because we're going to click publish and the world can see it. And it will give them a window into what we do as teachers and what the students produce. So, how are we going to change it? You see, I put myself at your mercy because I genuinely don't know. Right? So, I will look at you, you will look at me, and I won't know the answer because my French is not good enough. So, what are you going to do? You're the experts. You've said you're not happy with it. The world are going to see it. What would you like to change?
I'd like to add some bits and pieces.
Yeah, what do you fancy?
If possible in English. I liked fighting the car. I think that was in the clip.
Fighting the car. I thought that was a good one too, yeah. Any others?
Round and round we go.
Round and round we go. See, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because when you use that in your expression, when you...
Faites voler vos voitures.
Got that one?
Faites voler vos voitures.
And what does that mean?
Make your car fly.
Make the car fly. Fantastic. Can we have that in French as well? Would you describe that for me in French? Thank you very much. You see, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the whole team at the front, we're the experts team. We're all under pressure now. We're all disempowered. And you're the experts. The round and round thing I really like, because if you didn't like Formula One racing,
which could be,
when you come to perform it, you would say round and round. If I performed in a different way, round and round, it would have a different effect. Okay, what I'd like to do is just, after the title, Speed 3 Adrenaline Rush, I'd just like to put first draft. Because that's important. It's not finished. We're not really happy with it. Time's gone away from us. I still want to publish it, but as a teacher, I want it just to be clear. I just want to be clear that actually this is a work in progress. And that way, it doesn't have to be perfect. Because I've said clearly, this is a first draft. We may come back to it. We may polish it. What I would do as a teacher, I'd say, listen, these are all our ideas. You said you don't like it. I'm going to publish it. Go home. Have a look at it. Make changes. Post comments to see what you think you should do. What's it cost me as a teacher to do that in terms of time? Nothing. It's 5 seconds to say, why don't you go and do that? What's it done in terms of offering students concurrent learning opportunities? It's offered in the world. They can have an effect. They can go home. They can learn if they want outside school. They can have a real effect on that poetry. So that's our first draft. It's okay, isn't it? Could have been worse. It's actually just a list of ideas, really. But that's kind of how it works. Now, what I want to go back to, why on earth has he done a poetry session in the dissemination workshop of a thing? That's what I do as a teacher. That's how I operate as a teacher. How you lot will operate as a teacher will be very different. You'll have very different ideas about how you could use this digital paper. If you haven't got any ideas, then hopefully you just think, well, actually, that's just so not for me. I've served you well. if you think that isn't for me either. But it's just digital paper. And where's the blog in all that? Was I teaching you, or were we blogging? Were we creating, or were we blogging there? Yeah, it's much more teach there than tech. What is it? We're writing in a box. Mm-hmm. And if you had an interactive whiteboard, you'd be scribbling it there. If it was the beginning of a literacy session, or if it was the beginning of a language session where you're looking at a particular type of writing, you could easily do that kind of thing. But it's the software just flows into the background. And if the software doesn't go in the background, then why not do it on pencil and paper? If there isn't any value in that going out and you don't see the value, use pencil and paper. I use pencil and paper lots. But I just happen to think, actually, that's quite valuable for my students. That would be quite valuable if I had people around the world who said, well, why don't you get your ideas in here? Just comment on what we've done. It'd be very easy to get contacts from this place and just say, oh, yeah, we're going to do a bit of work with my student teachers. When they go off into class, they're going to create a bit of writing like this, and I'm going to be their audience. It's relatively easy to do. Let me just round this thing off. It's all about creative teachers. The software is unimportant. I knew that, actually. I thought that before we started this project. I have to be honest with you. I thought we stripped the software back. And it came down to this. Why would you use blogs? Because you want to give students real purpose, real audience, real responsibility for publishing to the web. If you want to solve the problems of what do you call it when people plagiarism in higher education, then you must start when kids are 5 and 6 years old, 4 or 5 years old, saying this is where this picture comes from. It's very important that we say where it's come from and acknowledge the stuff. If you want to solve plagiarism, a bit of software is never going to do it for you. Teaching real responsibility and giving a real platform will. Real collaboration. You'll hear stories of real collaboration. 9,000 comments, 4,000 posts, 30 nations are working on this project. We need to pay more than lip service to collaboration. It's got to be more than share with your partner next door to you. And of course that's important, don't get me wrong. But it has to be wider than that as well. If we want people to feel that they're a part of a wider global village, then we must give them opportunities to collaborate. And then the real student experts thing. I hope I modelled that to you with my appalling French, that I'm still emotionally drained from doing that because it feels horrible not being in control. It feels horrible, that I have to say, emotionally. But I'm willing to go there to not have me as the locus of control in my classroom to ensure that my students learn and I learn from them. And the beauty of this particular blogging software, in my opinion, Mario just sort of skated over his part in this project. He created this stuff from scratch and we went back right to the beginning. We took away all the important bells and whistles. And we just went back to what would you need to do those things? Purpose, audience, collaboration, real responsibility. And then we built it up from there. And so we stripped it down and then built on features. And you'll hear about some of those. It was secure. It became more secure as time went on and as students used their skills of hacking. That is life as well, unfortunately. And then we had all those things where some people wanted to moderate comments, some people are very interested in their stats. How many people have read me? How many people have read what I have written? And it takes a skillful, skillful teacher to deal with the fact that sometimes no one reads what you're writing because what you've written is not engaging. That happens. It happens with 5-year-old kids. It happens with people at university. how we as teachers deal with that and model dealing with that is an absolute key 21st century skill. The role of the teacher, I'm going to leave it up to the experts, because Sophia and Dolores, they did it, and it keeps me honest having them here, because they can say exactly what worked and exactly what didn't, and they can say what their role is. But really, with blogging, your role is what you want it to be. And if you're into building a community in your class or online, then you have to do those things that teachers always do. They model stuff. They write stuff on the board that shows people how to do it. They offer them frameworks. And they encourage people. And then they also teach people how to encourage others. This whole commenting thing was a real eye-opener. Some of the comments were just next to useless. Because the teacher hadn't said, listen, when you're commenting on someone else's work, this is what you need to do, my friends. Look at how I comment with the teachers, the other teachers. Some superb collaborative work went on between teachers in the comments. And that needed students being made aware of that. Listen, this is what I do. I offer ideas. I'm positive. And we don't just assume these days that students know how to do that. And we have to teach them. And we don't overpower them. We give them freedom. And I think the most successful ones projects were where the students were given freedom. And I think what Mario was talking about, where students feel stifled, is when they just see it as a classroom activity, rather like opening a textbook. You know, let's conjugate the verb être and let's put it on a blog. Je suis, tu, you know, you can use a blog like that. But when you set them free to say, have a go. Have a go. I'm going to be having a go and modelling. You watch me, and I'll comment and I'll do all those things that good teachers do. I'll pull in good bits of work from your peers. You know, peer assessment is such a key area these days in education. Jimmy over here has written a superb piece of persuasive writing in French. I'm going to link to it, put it on my homepage. I'm like the DJ spinning the tunes. Check out this tune from Jimmy. You should all listen to it. It's brilliant. What does that do for Jimmy? Well, that's superb, Jimmy. He feels encouraged, but he's also a teacher then. And he's also empowering others. So, be a DJ. I've always wanted to be a DJ. And just to finish, really, just realise this. The internet is not going away. Blogging, if you like, it will go away. It will morph into something else. But the principles behind it are just not going to go away. And as educators, we know what it's like to be forced and dragged into doing stuff, to have things inflicted on us. Or at least I do. Maybe it's just my personality. It happened that way. I don't know. But if we can get hold of this, and I just imagine, I mean, if you're a teacher, if you get hold of this with your students, don't worry about anywhere else, get hold of it with your students, you will make a difference. If you're a teacher trainer, or a dog trainer, or an educator, or whatever we want to call them, you could just get one of your students to have a go at this. Appeal to their creativity. Because you either believe that your students are creative or they're not. And if they are, then presumably, you give them a bit of digital paper, they could do stuff with it. And if you've got 10 students, presumably you have high enough view of those students to think, if I give those 10 students a lot of digital paper, they could do stuff better than I could on my own. So the fates guide those who go willingly, those who do not, they drag. Do not be dragged, and have a go. Anyone got any questions? Oh, shall I let it sink in?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm a little confused. I'm not sure whether you have a blog that each student has his own blog, or do you have a class blog, or how does that work?
The way I worked it, again, it's what you would consider to be, would work for you. The way I worked with my students was, first of all, I had a class blog, a single class blog, and I modelled the process of blogging, talked through it, got them to use the commenting feature to comment. So I was in control, because that's what I like. as a teacher. That's what I wanted. And then when I thought, actually, they've got this whole blogging thing going. They know how to link. They know how to read blogs. They know how to comment effectively. Then I gave them their own blogs. And then they then had their own platform. I would then link to their blogs.
Are their own blogs somehow part of your blog? Like, it looked like you had all the names there. And
yeah. Again, I'm sorry to be so vague with this, but the answer is always yes to whichever option you want. If you want them to have their own single blogs that are standalone, you can. With this system...
Yeah, it is on. Okay.
Yeah, with this system, the teacher created blogs under her or his own class. So she or he had control over their postings, and they could choose whether to moderate the postings or not. The real reason why I haven't gone into taking the ECML blogs and going through it bit by bit is because you're going to experience them over the 2 days. And what I would hate is for you to go away from this with a view of blogs that it's to do with a particular piece of software. You can use this piece of software. You can create blogs, ECML blogs for your students. They're set up that way for you if you wanted to do that. But there are also multiple solutions. And what's the key thing? What the key thing is that you take out principles. Because we go back to the thing at the beginning. It's not the software. It's the teach. Any other questions? Sounds like it's been enough. Okay, thanks very much. Cheers.